turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, for a beginning this morning. In the book Jeremiah's writing, he said that Babylonians had fed the Israelite people poison out of a golden cup. And I don't think things have changed much from that time to this. Same thing. Some of the worship, so-called worship, can look so good and be set so far off from the true worship. In the third verse of this chapter, he said that said, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ." We make things far too complicated. It's all in Christ. It's that simple. That's what the simplicity is. It's all of Christ Jesus. But they want to mingle a lot of other things in with it, make it complicated. In verse 12, he said, But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." He said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And no marvel. Well, why do we wonder at this? If their spirit not be of the spirit of Christ, certainly they're going to go the other way, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And I do marvel at this. And I look about me, all the religious fervor that is going on in the world today. And I do marvel at how they are turned from the simplicity which is in Christ. And they go to great pains to do it. You know, they're busy. They're working. I know people that just working night and day for a false religion. And they're basing their salvation upon what they are doing in that false religion. And they're all about us. And that's what's so scary about the whole thing, is that if we're not careful, it can look so good and sound so good and be so simple. The wrong simple. So simple that they just go off on any tangent that comes along. Listen to every old doctrine, every radio show, every TV show, every doctrine that comes along, and they mingle a little of it in all along in the Word of God. And that mingling of the lie in the truth is dangerous. It never seemed like no end to it. Of making the many books, there's no end. Just keep on writing them. But be careful. When we read these things, that we try them against the true Word of God. It's not that complicated. If you read it and it's black and white, it's not that complicated. And they complicate things in that they say, well, it just couldn't mean that. Got to mean something else. Well, we just, you know, you need just let that alone because we don't know what that means. But if you read it in black and white, it's simple enough that the least kid back here can understand those things that they read if they take it as the truth and don't mingle a lie in among it. In the book of Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter, I've often marveled at Ezekiel's writings about this. I guess in verse 7, and he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they, nor their kings, by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings, in their high places. Well, that's what all this stuff is a high place. He went up and set up their groves. He went to worshiping another God, another gospel. And he said, in their setting of their threshold by my threshold, and their post by my post, and the wall between me and them, they have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed. It's so similar. You know, that's what the devil has always done. He set forth something that just looks kind of like that. And that's the way he is with this gospel that's being preached today, is it just looks a little like that. It's one post over against the other post. They've built another temple. Whole other temple. Understand me, it's another temple. It's of another spirit, another world. It's of this world. And it has made bondage of many, many people. They're captured by it, made bondage. They've been fed poison out of a golden cup. It looks, oh, the cup looks so nice, it must be good. Wherefore, I have consumed them in mine anger. Now let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And you pay close attention that he's not going to measure exactly the house, but the pattern. This is what it is. This is the pattern of it. This is the way it ought to be, and it's set forth by God exactly how to build it. Now, he wasn't necessarily talking about an old earthly temple over there. He was talking about the temple of God where he would dwell, where he would meet with his people, where he would rest, and where his people could rest in him. The pattern of it. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house. Still just the form. And the fashion thereof. And the goings out thereof. And the comings in thereof. And all the forms thereof. And all the ordinances thereof. And all the forms thereof. And all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof. This is how you worship God. This is the form of it. And you follow this form, this pattern that's been set forth. This is the way you worship. It wasn't sacrifice and offerings that the Lord was pleased with. And all the ordinance thereof and do them. This is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain. The whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. What was the law of the house? It must be holy. It must be according to the pattern thereof. Oh, and he said measure everything. The laws, the ordinances, the house, and if you will, all the vessels thereof. And it all had a perfect pattern. This is the way you worship God. And it was set forth quite plain. This is it. In 66th chapter of the book of Isaiah then. Verse 1. And said, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. And the earth is my footstool. Now where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Pretty good question, wasn't it? Where does the Lord abide? Where is he going to meet with his people? Is it some pretty edifice in this world? No, it's not in the edifice. It's in the temple. And what is the temple? It's the people. That's where the Lord's going to reside, and that's where he's going to have his rest. And that's where the people will rest, in the true temple. He said, for all these things hath mine hand made. All these things, the buildings and the animals and the people and the whole world was created by him. It's his. Why does he need the worship of man's hands? There, for all those things hath mine hand made. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Now that's where the real pure worship is. Ones of a contrite heart. Those that need help. Those that don't have anything to offer. No sacrifice. Except the simplicity that's in Christ. He was the perfect offering. You see, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word, and he that killeth an ox as if he slew a man, And he that sacrifices a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he hath blessed an idol. What is all these things worth? All this work. And going on. And trying to present something to God that he doesn't already have. As if he blessed an idol, yea, they have chosen their own ways. And their soul delighteth in their abominations. And will also choose their delusions. And will bring their fears upon them. Now this is different fear here, understand.
Right.
It's the one make them run from God. It's not one that make them tremble. They just won't run away. And because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. So they want to keep on slaying ox. That sacrifice never was worth anything. Not from the very beginning. And that's what people don't seem to understand nowadays. That they think somehow that those sacrifices, the offering of a cow, was worth something. But it was the pattern. It wasn't the house. It was the pattern of it. So was the offering that the people did in the days of the law. The ordinances of the law, if you will. Not the law. Sometimes we get those things mixed up. But this is the ordinances of the law. Go do this. And it was a matter of the pattern of obeying the will of God. It didn't have any power. It lacked the wisdom of God. Where is the simplicity in Christ Jesus? It's not in all these works. You can slay an animal all day long. Lord owns the animals, all animals on Thousand Hills, he said. They're his. He doesn't need that. Why in the world would a man think that he needs a dead cow? Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. Now, isn't that kind of what we hear today? We're going to give God the glory. In all time, they're taking it away from him, doing something. It's not the pattern. They're setting forth false worship. Let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. But there isn't any shame today. They will be. But there isn't any today. They go about with their what they call worship. Put on the very best garment and go to the very best house in this world. But the world that we're dealing with is not this world. It's the world to come where the true temple is. It's in high in the mountain, up on the top of the mountains. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice from the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Oh, it was sure thing. It was before the foundation of work. These things were set forth. The simplicity that is in Christ. In the book of Galatians, first chapter. First chapter of the book of Galatians. I guess verse 6. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, it isn't some anymore, it's a bunch of them. They're on every street corner. He said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For I do now persuade men, or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I shall not be the servant of Christ. No way you can do both. You cannot please men. You can tell them the truth, and they'll make them mad. If you tell them a lie, they'll run to it. It seems like that's the way it is. We got big, big church houses. City of Houston got, think, up one of the biggest down there, the Galleria Center complex. Matter of fact, that fella's got a cube now. I see it on the TV. You can order it, and you punch a button on there, and it'll give you some advice. Tell you how good things are. I forget how he put one of them. It's just going to be wonderful, though. You ain't no use in you running around with your head down, just lift it up. God's going to bless you. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's our big problem in this world today, is that they're trying to preach man's gospel, man's doctrine. They've mingled it and made it look pretty good. They've set their post over against the Lord's post. They've set their threshold over against the Lord's threshold and made it all look similar. But it isn't too hard to discern one from the other if you just believe the word that is written in black and white. Yea, I'll have mercy on whom I will, and whom I will, I'll harden. That's how simple this gospel is. The simplicity with it that is in Christ Jesus. Over in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, we'll finish this up. And in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. See, it's not just limited to few people. The temptation is placed upon this whole world to try them that dwell upon earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. A pillar in the temple? Yeah. But it's going to be that one post. Not going to have another one sitting over beside it. He's going to be the pillar in the temple of my God, and I shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
How many times are we warned in the Scripture about false Christ, false apostles, false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing, and it goes on and on? How many examples do we have when Elijah met with the people up there on Mount Carmel? How many true prophets were there? How many false prophets?
450.
Yeah. And so it's always is, isn't it? The false prophets always greatly outnumber the true ones. When the two kings, Jehoshaphat and Ahab, was getting ready to go to battle. They want to know whether they're going to have success. So they call the prophets. I think there was 400 of them, wasn't it? 400 of them come up. All telling them, oh, go ahead. God's going to deliver the battle into your hands. It's going to be great. It's going to be all right. Wait a minute. We need one more. Well, you got one true prophet and a whole slew of false prophets. And again, so it's always been that way. And it will always be that way down to the very end in the sermon, what we call the Olivet Discourse. Again, we're warned over and over again that this is the way it's going to be. And they're going to have such an appeal that if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elect. But see, that's just it. You might deceive God's true people sometimes, but you're not going to continually deceive God's people, because my sheep still hear my voice and follow me, and another, they will not follow. It's what my Bible says. That is an absolute declaration that God's people will not follow a false prophet. Again, not saying that sometimes we're not fooled, because sometimes we are, because it sounds so good. But ultimately, God's simple word overcomes, doesn't it? By the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is still faithful to his people. And God seeketh them. He seeks his people, right?
Yeah.
He seeks them to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we can be thankful today that God has shown the light to us.
Amen.
And we're not following these false prophets. But we also need to beware, don't we? The 11th chapter of Romans, very, very specific about that. By faith you stand, but beware lest you fall. All right. But according to the exact pattern. But that's one of the cries that we hear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Times have changed. Things not like they used to be. Yeah, they are, as far as God is concerned. A lot of things have changed. Used to didn't have automobiles, didn't have no airplanes, no rockets and all this kind of stuff. And but God has not changed. His word has not changed. His will has not changed. His purpose has not changed. And Christ has not changed.